before we begin our worship on this day. I have successfully completed 6 of my 12 cottage meetings. I have one this afternoon. Yesterday we were at the Hutton residence and had a great breakfast together, and it was all young families with their children. So we had a wonderful conversation not only about the present Mountain View Lutheran Church, but about the anticipating the future, which is largely what this campaign is about, living hope past, present, and future. We remind you to sign up for the dinner, which is on February 22nd. The sign-up is straight back in the gathering space. You can do so on the sheet that's back there, or you can also do so online. If you go to the Mountain View website, simply click on Living Hope and register your attendance at that event. The purpose of that event is to celebrate our time together and the campaign that we have engaged, but also to hear stories and sing together in the celebration of our life in ministry with one another. We are but pilgrims and strangers on the face of this earth. Our condolences and prayers go out to the family of Gloria Perry. She died Friday, a long life, longtime member of Mountain View Lutheran Church. So her memorial indications will be given to you when we know when that will occur. President Carol Power has an announcement.
As most of you are aware, the church was approached by Verizon Cellular last year to discuss installing a Verizon cell tower on the church property. A cell tower information meeting was held on November 6th at Exalt, and we appreciate the feedback and the questions we received that night. This morning, I'm here to announce a special congregation meeting to be held 2 weeks from today on Sunday, February 9th, immediately following the second service here in the sanctuary. The purpose of the meeting is a congregational vote on whether or not to move forward with a cell tower on the church campus. This will be the only agenda item of the special meeting. There will be a period of discussion before the vote to answer questions and respond to the feedback that was given in November and that we've received since then. The vote will cover the specific location of the tower, the design of the tower, and authorize the church council to negotiate and enter a contract with Verizon on behalf of the church. There will be information available between now and the meeting in 2 weeks on the location of the tower and the design. So again, the meeting will be 2 weeks from today on February 9th following the second service. The nursery will remain open. However, we are not serving lunch as there's only one agenda item for this meeting. Thank you.
Please stand for the confession. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the eternal voice from heaven, the anointed and beloved one, the Spirit moving over the waters. As we approach the mystery of God, let us come in confession, trusting the love of Christ crucified and risen. You may remain. Beloved of God, you have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, poured out for you in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Receive the promise of baptism. You are God's child, your sins are forgiven. Rejoice and be glad, for yours is the reign of heaven. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord, be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, your loving kindness always goes before us and follows after us. Summon us into your light and direct our steps in the ways of goodness that come through the cross of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
A reading from Isaiah. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. The word of the Lord. A reading from 1 Corinthians. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you should be in agreement, and that there should be no divisions among you, but that you should be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called to them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Please be seated. Let us pray. God of grace and life, in the midst of conflict and strife throughout our community and world, you call us to another way of being and living in Christ. Empower us today in what it means to live as the body of Christ, that in doing so we might be a revelation of Christ in the midst of the world. By the power of your Spirit, we pray. Amen. Since Christmas, you've heard several sermons about the Incarnation, about how Christ came to live among us in the flesh, how he took on human weakness and sinfulness, all so that we might know something of God's great and powerful love for us. Today, we shift our attention to Jesus' body as it is in the world today, what that body of Christ, made up of all the followers of Christ, behaves like and acts like, what our purpose together is. And so I'd like to begin with words from St. Teresa of Avila. Some of you will know her because we incorporated her into the series on mystics during the last Lenten season. So she says, with a slight adaptation for the modern ear, she says, "Christ has no body now on earth but yours. No hands but yours. No feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks with compassion on the world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body but yours." I share her words today because Christians in Paul's time and ever since have struggled greatly to figure out what it means to live together as one body. Still today, we get caught up in following various world and church leaders, hoping that those individuals might be the ones to bring salvation of some sort, whether it be an economic salvation or a religious salvation, saving the church, growing the church, whether it be salvation in terms of a justice we hope to be righted. Still today, we get caught up in proclaiming various identities and perspectives over and against those of other people, thinking that we must know right or we must know best. And this is the same sort of strife that marked that early Christian community in Corinth that Paul was writing to. In the text, we hear that Paul has heard reports from Chloe's people, so they've written to him, telling him that the followers of Christ in their community have divided themselves over which leaders they prefer. Whether it be Paul or Apollos or Cephas, who we know as Peter, some of them are claiming to follow Apollos because he was a very elegant speaker. He was very persuasive in his public appearance, which is why later in the letter we hear Paul attack that eloquent speaking. That's not what it's about. It's about the Spirit of Christ, right? Others were claiming to follow Paul, perhaps because he was the one who brought them into the faith in the first place. But of course, we know from our own experiences and from the history of the Corinthians that when such divisions as this get started, they tend to foreshadow more conflict down the road. And so Paul comes up with a very straightforward response. He points to just two things to remind them of who they really are. He points to the crucifixion and to our baptism. He says, "Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Why then do you proclaim to follow other leaders? The crucifixion is the only story that can define us. It is the only story of our salvation. All of the leaders who come afterwards, no matter who they are, no matter how powerful they might be, should point towards the cross of Christ to say, 'Behold, this is the one who redeems us from all sin, who brings us together through all division.'" He's very direct, very clear about saying that if a leader or an identity that we are claiming is not wholeheartedly and unreservedly pointing back to Christ, then it is not of Christ. And then he directs us to think about our baptism, that unity and same purpose of mind comes not from one particular leader who can build consensus among us. It does not come from one particular leader who possesses certain spiritual gifts. Unity comes only through the baptism that we all share, the baptism that connects us through all being participants in Christ's death and resurrection. So in the midst of any and all division, it is this body of Christ that holds us together. And that is really important to remember in our day and age too, especially as our nation is divided over all sorts of weighty topics, an impeachment trial, climate change, border security, mental health reform, healthcare reform. There's much that can divide us. And these are not unimportant matters either. They are quite significant for our life together. But far more important than any one of our stance on a particular topic is how we relate to one another, even in the midst of conflict. We cannot relate as opponents who have no common ground. We, as part of the body, the one body, relate in all things as siblings. People who love one another as Christ first loved us. And therefore, people who hear one another with a generosity of spirit, who seek to understand, who are always looking towards the work of reconciliation, especially among the body. This way of living together requires a shift in our perspective. We cannot buy into the same perspective that the news might put forth. We cannot buy into the same perspective of partisanship. It even requires, in some ways, a shift from our own uncharitable perspectives on our neighbors at times. Being the eyes of Christ in the world asks that we see differently, that we behave and we respond to one another differently. But of course, from our own experience and even our own failures in this, we know how hard it is to practice looking out on the world with the compassion of Christ, trying to value each life as God in Christ valued it, to have died on the cross for the salvation of all. So I'd like to share with you some words this morning from a poet and theologian named Padraig O Tuama, who I think captures a sense of what it means to see differently and to relate to one another differently as part of the body of Christ. And his background is that he worked at a community of conflict resolution after the Northern Ireland conflict. And so he had seen much division among that community of people and much loss of life. And so he wrote in reflection, "When I was a child, I learned to count to five. One, two, three, four, five." And he's implying here that this is how the world taught him to see. This is how the world taught him to count. But he goes on to say, "These days, I have been counting lives. So I count one life, one life, one life, one life, one life. Because each time is the first time that that life has been taken." being part of the body of Christ is similar in a way. It asks us to see differently as he learned to see differently in the midst of conflict. We can no longer even count as the world would teach us to count. Not our money, not our goods and our resources, certainly not lives. We cannot see conflict or strife as our secular influences might have us see them. Because we now, even in the midst of conflict, must see and treat one another as siblings. There is no room in this one body for hate or dismissal of people. We, as the body of Christ, are called to act differently. That means that we are called to a great level of generosity with one another. We are called even to sacrifice for one another, sacrifice of our time and our possessions. We are called to a great level of commitment to this community, to this body. It is to be a priority in our lives. We are no longer just individuals going about our day-to-day lives. Through our baptism into Christ, that is a luxury that has been given up. Now, our actions, our lives, our individual lives, reflect the communal life so that they might help reflect to the love of Christ into the world. And that reminds us that our hope and our power and even our inspiration do not lie in the individual lives of people. It does not lie in individual leaders who might inspire us or make mighty claims. Our hope does not lie either in the success of our own lives. Rather, hope and power lie in the Spirit of Christ as it is at work among us, as it works among the whole body to unite us, so that we together might be a revelation of Christ to the world. So this reading from Corinthians serves, especially during this Epiphany season, to help us look for the revelation of Christ in the world in new ways. Yes, we see it through the incarnation of the first century, absolutely. But Christ is also revealed through the power of our life together, through this community of ordinary people who are called to live together differently, to see with the eyes of Christ, to respond to the world as the hands and the feet of Christ. In this, we understand our purpose and our call. In this day and age, we are called to be the body of Christ in the world. For Christ has no body on earth but ours. Amen.
Called together through water and the word, we boldly pray for the church, the world, and all who long to hear God's voice. Merciful God, you made all people of the world in your own image. Remind us to see beauty in diversity as we honor and worship you in different ways, knowing that we are all connected. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Open our hearts and minds as we enter our capital campaign. May we live in hope as we remember our past, support the present, and look toward the future. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Remember your faithful people who are in the midst of suffering. We lift up to you the Hagen and Harris families after the death of Gloria Perry, and Alice McKechnie and family after the death of her sister. Walk with them into your open and loving arms. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Bless this time we share together. Listen to your people as they bring to you their joys and sorrows, both silently or aloud. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We place our prayers before you, God, united in your spirit through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And the peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
And share the peace of Christ. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.